We're going to talk for the rest of this hour about the strike taking place up and down the Eastern Seaboard. There are 45,000 workers who work for Verizon who have gone on strike. Now, we called Verizon, emailed them. They didn't respond to joining us in the program. So it's an all Labor Day here on the show. So we have three folks in the studio with us. Bill Delaney is with us, who is president of the Communication Workers of America, Local 2101, who are leading the strike here in town. And Bill, good to meet you.
Welcome. Nice to be here. I appreciate it.
Joining us once again is Corey McCray, who is board chair of the Young Trade Unionists and organizer, international organizer with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 24, IBEW. We're also part of this strike, even though it's good to have you on here, Corey.
Yes, sir, all day.
Bill Berry is with us. He's director of the Labor Studies Program at the Community College of Baltimore County and author of Union Strategies for Hard Times. And, Bill, good to see you again.
Mark, nice to see you.
And the lines are open. Maybe you are on strike. Want to join us at 410-319-8888. Maybe you have a different viewpoint of the strike. Maybe you work at Verizon or someplace else. 410-319-8888. Join us for this conversation. But let's talk about what's going on here. Just in broad terms first, why the strike is taking place. Do you want to jump in, Bill, and talk a bit about what happened here and as the president of the local?
Well, our union contract was up August the 6th. Beginning on June the 22nd, bargaining started. Verizon put a package on the table on June the 22nd, and that's exactly what's still on the table right now. Have not moved an inch.
So tell me what the issues were, as you see the major issues for you in this, or for you and your members in this strike.
Our major issue is jobs. Good jobs at Verizon. You know, the Verizon wireless business is non-union, and Verizon has a lot of other subsidiaries, and none of those jobs can the landline, the wire side of the business, which I work in for almost 38 years now. Are we allowed to be able to move? We can't have any movement into those jobs.
Tell me, you mean guys who work in the land wire, wireland, how are you saying?
Wireline.
Wireline, excuse me, thank you. The wireline cannot move over to the wireless.
No.
What you're saying?
No. You would actually have to quit the company, quit Verizon to go to work at Verizon.
Because then you would be non-union and can make less money.
Well, you would definitely do both of those. There's a lot of jobs out there. Verizon does a lot of contracting. We have a group of people that may be doing a certain job at Verizon. And outside of Verizon, there's a group of contractors that are doing the same thing. And
as you are doing now?
Not so much as what I'm doing, but we have some engineers in our group that we've been fighting Verizon having contractors to do the same exact job that they do for years. But our contract has a little bit of a weakness in that respect where it says they can contract out work as long as nobody loses their job at Verizon while they're doing it. So through attrition and more and more engineers are leaving the company, nobody's being hired into that job except for contractors.
Now, and the IBEW, they're part of this as well?
Yes. Like you said, we have 10,000 members. And as Bill stated, it's kind of like a Wisconsin-style tactics. You know, we saw it in the private in the public sector for the last 6 or 7 months. And then now we're seeing it in the private sector where they're trying to get rid of good middle-class jobs, whereas corporate America trying to beat down the working man, the corporate America that makes 300 times more than the average worker. And every day you see this, you witness in it that – these companies are profitable, but they're still trying to take the food and the money out of the mouths of working America.
Now, Bill Berry, you're not on strike.
No.
But you're here supporting it.
So absolutely.
Tell me about your perspective of what's going on.
Well, I think it's clear that it's not just from Wisconsin. And we just hit the 30th anniversary of the PATCO strike. And that was –
that's the air traffic controller strike
from 1981, in August of 1981. And that was really the opening – one of the opening salvos of this attack. My contention is that the employers are trying to eliminate unionism in the United States completely. And you see it in Wisconsin where they dramatically cut bargaining rights. And here what they're trying to do is to take advantage of declining numbers. And the union movement is partly responsible for that because we haven't been organizing. And we've gone from 37% of the workforce down to 7%. And that's just asking for trouble. And even in the Verizon area, the percentage, certainly in Verizon and certainly in the communications industry generally, percentage of organized workers has dropped dramatically. And either we're going to bring the non-union workers up to the union standard, or the companies are going to take the union workers and drive them down to the non-union standard. So this is just one battle in a long war. And for the last 30 years, it hasn't been going well for our side. These men and women at Verizon, the employees, are courageous to stand up. And there's just no excuse. Verizon's got a ton of money, and this is just a totally provocative strike on their part to try and break the union.
And they're also, I mean, with the economy the way it is, are using that as an excuse to break these unions because, if I'm not mistaken, in Wisconsin, their union, they gave quite a few concessions, but the governor took it a step farther and took away their collective bargaining rights, which really didn't have a whole lot to do with economics at the time. What it had to do with was union busting.
And when you look at what's going on here, one of the things you just said, Bill, which we alluded to here, I mean, when I was reading one of the articles today, it was that let's say the 196,000 workers in Verizon in New York, only 61,000 of those are union.
And that could be, I don't know, but mostly because of Verizon Wireless.
Although, to interrupt, we have
55 brave souls for Verizon Wireless that work in New York that are unionized, and they're out on strike with us.
Wow.
So that out of the whole company, that's the only 55 that I know of that are actually unionized employees. So talk about a brave bunch of souls, Bill. They're doing it.
Well, that's what it takes for unionism forever, since the first strike at the Pharaoh's Pyramid back in 1500 B.C. First, as far as I know, in time, recorded time, they struck because they weren't getting their grain rations.
So, folks, join us here at 410-319-8888. We did ask Verizon to come on as this strike goes on. If it goes on for a while, we'll have these guys back on. We'll push Verizon to come on. We'll also push those who don't agree with the strike to come on. But they're here now. Join us at 410-319-8888. Your thoughts. I mean, one of the things that hits me about this and just reading about it is that this is part of the cusp of the issue of new technology in America. I mean, we are going from the days when almost all of our phone work and communication work was wireland. Did I say it right this time?
Wireline.
Wireline. Thanks, man. I'm sorry, brother.
That's
all right. Wireline. So, you know, when everything was connected, like people like me and many others are going, well, I don't need a telephone anymore. Why do I need a telephone in my house? My wife's got a cell phone. I've got a cell phone. My kids got cell phones. You know, and we're connected. We have our internet, and it's coming through the house. It's coming through Verizon or some other place, and it just comes right there and just get everything I need. I can put it in my TV, so I don't need guys climbing up poles. I don't need people to do the work that connects it. But this is part of the crux of the issue, is this transition and what happens to unions and to workers and to people and their salaries and lives in this transition.
Because there are unionized cell phone companies. AT&T, for example, voluntarily recognized the CWA. And, I mean, I've got the AT&T wireless plan. This is not a commercial, but it is possible to be successful in the new technology and respect your workers and provide a decent income. And providing that decent income makes it possible for their kids to have landlines and cell phones and stuff like that. I mean, it puts money in the economy.
And not for the wireline side of the business. Wireless wouldn't work because my job, what I do at Verizon, is we drop circuits off every day at those cell sites that are on wires that have to work in order for that cell site to work. So there's a lot more to it than just picking up the kitchen phone.
Yes,
you know, right. It's a whole lot more right. to it than that, you know, so.
And then you got to keep in mind that, like you said, with the new technology, the people that still out on strike still do the Verizon Fios. They still the people that do the for the internet and TV. So it is still moving, and it's still some jobs that's tied into the wireland.
But it's also true for you have a large office. People use landlines and big systems like the college has hundreds and hundreds of receivers and extensions and stuff like that. And Verizon does a lot of that.
Oh, yeah. There's hardly a building around anymore that isn't fed with a piece of fiber that we maintain and send dial tone and internet traffic across.
But as you said, part of the issue for the union is not being able to switch over to the wireless part of Verizon and still be a union member and still be represented by the union. You'd have to quit and go after a job.
Correct. Yeah, so, yeah, that's our biggest issue right now in bargaining is jobs. There's other issues on the table, wages, health care, job security is another huge one. But jobs. We want every job at Verizon to be a union job.
Let me ask you a kind of tough question about this. I mean, if you guys are on strike right now, men and women are on strike from the Communication Workers of America and a smaller group of International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, and the majority of people in Verizon here and everywhere else are not union, and they're still functioning, and they can – what's this new company called in places – Minnetonka? Wisconsin.
Oh, that professional scab company,
that I actually bring people in and they...
Well, it only works if they're skilled people. And nobody can do the work that Bill does on a long-term basis. And one of the things I've experienced in my years in the union is when you have a relatively low-skilled shop, it's easy to bring in scabs because they can learn the work. It's very sophisticated. And I've worked with a lot of the CWA locals around the state and kind of know what they do. And you're not going to try that activity here. Verizon will try and get retired people, management people
to come in
who've done the work. And even so, I think today there were some stories of the management people going out in the truck looking totally lost and befuddled, not knowing what to do or where to go. And a lot of it is just psychological warfare from Verizon.
Well, what's the union? What do you think the company's prepared to do? I mean, to hold out against the strike?
Well, that's more or less what they're doing. I mean, we on our picket line today, we saw license plates from Georgia and Florida and New Jersey and everywhere. They're bringing them all in, retired management and every other Verizon place in the country that could spare workers, I guess. See, they got a strike assignment.
And it also speaks to the nature of the strike, because if Verizon is willing to pay for all these people to come up here, pay their motels, their meals, whatever salaries they're making, if they would put that money into the insurance and the benefits, there wouldn't be a strike.
And with the strike, majority of the time, it keeps the company with a lot of pressure due to the fact that, like you said, the managers can't sustain for over long periods of time working those types of hours. The same situation happened down in with the IBEW down in New York with the nuclear power plant up there in 9 Mile, Local 97. They were only out on strike for 2 weeks. So then they had to come back to the table because it's not safe after a while. It's unproductive. And like they said, the CWA and IBEW workers are skilled workers.
So I mean, this is – strikes are happening less and less in America. That's just – they really are. Unions are not feeling the power they had once.
Union density is way down. And that's true. That's exactly what they –
So I'm curious, among the men and women in your local – and the conversation you might have had with locals on other parts up and down the Eastern Seaboard working for Verizon, was that much of a big part of the debate? People kind of worried about going on a strike? I mean, I was wondering – because the guy's standing up and saying no – we're walking.
I'm sure some of our folks up the top there have thought about that, absolutely. It really, in our situation, Verizon wasn't taking the bargaining serious. They slapped this bargaining report number 5 on the table and said, this is it. And we've been trying to get them to speak about parts of these issues, and there's been no movement whatsoever. You know, there's thoughts that maybe they wanted us to strike. They feel like they can break the union, keep us out 3 months and things like that. But from every message that I'm getting from my members and from the – we said, okay, this is it. It stops here. We're either going to do it or we're not. And we're ready. We are ready. Absolutely. It's not going to happen.
I can hear it and I can see it. But what you just said, I think what Corey was nodding your head. I mean, this is –
for real.
And they want to, and they do think, I think, they can break the union with this.
The thing is that over a long period, you got to think the workers have two options. They could either go and turn around, or they can actually fight. They still have the same bills. If they take that cut in wages, if they take that $3,000 that they're asking of them to put up for their health insurance, if they're taking that retirement that they're telling them to forget and go to a 401k. So the option is to maybe not send your kid to school, maybe not eat food that week, maybe not put the car gas in the car that week. That's not an option. You know, we're coming to that point.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very clear management wants to eliminate certain words and phrases from the American vocabulary, like guaranteed wage, paid holiday, paid vacation, secure retirement, family health coverage. And you see it as recently as this morning. I think I'm probably one of three or four people in the city that still reads the Baltimore Sun. I don't know if you saw
I'm the fourth one.
Okay, well, my wife, all right, so there's more. But they had a horrendous editorial today about unions as gangsters, and they're looking at a Teamster strike up in another state. But it was just this foul, vicious hatred of unions. And they were constantly doing it. They had one a couple of weeks ago about pensions, that it's outrageous that people would exactly expect to have pensions and retirement. And how dare you expect, you know, if you don't save money away, you're not entitled to anything. And then a couple of weeks before that, it was a guy from the Manufacturers Institute here in Maryland saying, oh, the way to save manufacturing is to eliminate the employer share of taxes, the employer share of Social Security taxes, things like that. I mean, we're going to be back in the Middle Ages if we don't stop. And I give the CWA and the IBEW credit for people to say, look, enough.
You sent me an email of Bill Berry saying that tomorrow the Communications Workers of America are having picketing at the Verizon strike at locations from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., asking people to stop by and show some solidarity across the region, right?
Absolutely. Well, tomorrow at 12 p.m. at 99 Shawan Road, we'll be having a gathering.
Well, you got your messages mixed up a little bit. These are picketing every day.
Right.
So people can stop by any time. Tomorrow at noon, as Bill set up in Hunt Valley, there's a particular rally.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right, we still have the picket line set up at every location. Yeah.
So the picket lines are happening at 2815 Druid Park Drive. They're at 99 Shawan Road in Hunt Valley, which is right across from the mall. It's 320 St. Paul Place.
Take the light rail up, you know.
Take the light rail up. It's right there. 7007 Fitch Avenue off of Rossville. 5305 Old Court in Randallstown. 6810 Dogger Road in Woodlawn. And so we have to end this day, but we're going to come back. If the strike goes on, you'll be back.
I'll be back.
And we'll try to get them on here to have a discussion where folks represent their interest at any rate.
Right.
So go show some solidarity. These people will be – this will be on our website, steinershow.org, so you can see it right there and know where to go and show your support for your neighbors.
All right. Well, thank you.
Good to have you all here. We've been talking with Bill Delaney, president of the Communication Workers of America, Local 2101, Bill Berry, who runs Labor Studies at Community College of Baltimore, Corey McCray, who is board chair of Young Trade Unionists. And we did invite Verizon to join us more, and we'll invite them again. The Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by Urbanite Magazine's new e-zines. It's a simple way to stay connected to the topics and events you care about most. Daily content on arts, culture, food, design, style, green living, and much more can be delivered to your inbox. Registration is available at UrbaniteBaltimore.com. I want to invite you all to join me tomorrow night at 6:30. We'll be doing a live mayoral debate at New Shiloh Baptist Church with a number of unions, CPHA, the NAACP, and 29 other community groups. So be there for that. We'll give you more information on our website. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. We are produced by Cricket Aronson and Justin Levy. We're engineered tonight by Akisa Gunn. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. Our intern today is Naomi Wasson. To hear this show again, podcast any of our past shows, find new additional interviews and information on our guests and the work they are doing, please visit us at the web at steinershow.org. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care, and thank you for listening.